Good evening, James McCanny here with My Science Hour, August 25th, 2011. The last show of August. This is really the time when kids are going back to school. The 25th of August, 2011. A lot of things in the works, and I hope there's a lot of kids that listen with their parents to this show. That's really a good thing because they get so much misinformation in school today. It's just incredible. And so I'm sure there's a lot of kids that listen to this show and go to school. I know some are homeschooled, but I know they go to school after listening to this show and they just must sit there and go, I got to listen to 12 years of this to graduate. And there's a lot of things you can learn in school. Science, there's a lot of good science. Learn mathematics. And remember, a lot of these things you have to learn on your own because your teachers all the way through school are not that great. So just beware of the fact that you're going to have to do a lot of things on your own. Seek help from people who are older, kids that have been through school that are good students. Don't be afraid to ask an older kid in school and say, hey, I'm having problems with my math. There's nothing embarrassing about that. Math is difficult. Science is difficult. And here's the issue, for example, with mathematics. If you miss a year or a concept in mathematics, even a lesson as you go through school, it breaks the chain of knowledge, and so it makes it harder. And so eventually a lot of kids just break down in math and say, I can't do this. Well, it's not that they can't do it. It's that they just have had a bad teacher or a bad experience or missed a key concept along the way. And even some good teachers who they think they're good are not getting the material across to the students. So take the responsibility as a student to go through and study your math courses, etc. And I've always said, too, read the lesson quickly. One time, read it the second time to get a basic idea, and then you have to read it a third time to really understand what's in the lesson. And that's what there are a lot of professionals out there in science and mathematics who gloss over things, and they don't really study them in depth. They're too busy with other things, and so a lot of issues get missed in what we call education or educational circles. So a lot of people base their living on just repeating what they've heard from somebody else. They really haven't sat down to think about what they're saying or what they're researching. And they go on, and they get paid, and they're busy with other things in their lives. So the misfortune of our modern society is that a lot of very bad science is being passed off, and unfortunately this goes all the way down to the kids in school, grade school, middle school, high school, and college, and graduate school, all the way up to getting a PhD. So at any rate, no matter what level of school you're at, remember, you have to kind of take care of yourself. And like I say, if you're in a math class, you're just not getting the concept, ask the teacher. If the teacher doesn't make it any clearer, seek out someone that's older in the school and say, hey, you know, I know you were good in math, and I'm just kind of missing some basic concepts here. Could you give me a little help? So anyway, just some advice as kids go back to school. A couple notes. We have a hurricane that's passed up through into the Carolinas right now and through Florida. So at any rate, Hurricane Irene coming off the Caribbean, passing this past week over the north side of the Caribbean islands and through the Bahamas. Hurricane Irene. So that's really one of the first major storms to hit the United States this year. As we head into August, right now we're in the thick of the hurricane season. There's a reason why August is the height of the hurricane season, the tornado season, and the aurora borealis, those wonderful curtain-like lights in the sky. It's just great, a wonderful thing to watch if you, in the summertime, you get out. If you're camping or away from the city, you look up and you see the auroras filling the night sky. Just an amazing thing to see. In fact, I've personally heard the auroras. It's a kind of a hissing sound. It sounds like electrical rain is what it sounds like. And I happened to be in the woods one day in the middle of the daytime, and there was a solar storm going on, and what happens is secondary high energetic particles come down from the ionosphere, and it just sounded like raining. It sounded like the leaves were being hit with something. But anyway, there's a reason why August is the main month for all of this, because Earth passes through the what I call the return current sheet. The return current sheet comes back from the far reaches of the solar system, and it returns to the sun. This is part of the electrical circuit of the sun. So, and we pass through that return current sheet in the month of August. So that's why we have the auroras, the solar conditions, what appear to be solar conditions, but really it's due to the fact that we're moving through the return current sheet. It's actually a reverse current. It comes from the far side of the solar system, comes back towards the sun. The main current source from the sun is outwards from the sun. It's called the solar wind, and contrary to standard science, the solar wind is positively charged. It has an excess current of positive charge in it. And scientists don't really understand how this could happen, but when you see this as an energetic circuit, electrical circuit, with the current going out to the far reaches of the solar system in the solar wind, and then it wraps around and it comes back to the sun via an electric current that, as I say, passes back to the sun where Earth moves through that region in the month of August. So that's why the peak of the hurricane season is in August. That's why the peak of the aurora borealis season, and also the tornado season, also the typhoon season in the Southwest Pacific. Also, they're just hurricanes, but over there they call them typhoons, and in the Indian Ocean they're called cyclones, but still the same weather phenomenon. A cyclonic, rotating, large scale storm. So at any rate, now, first of all, I want to introduce, by the way, the main science topic. I'll be talking about the effects of comet tails when Earth is in the vicinity of comet tails. Last week, if you'll remember, I talked about the physics of Moses. And I got some listener response, and I can tell that there's a lot of people out there who listen who really just don't get the picture still about what's going on here. They're mixing all kinds of bad science with the concepts they hear on this radio show, and so these are people who have not done their homework. There's a lot of people, and that's one of the things I've said on my webpage. I say it in my papers repeatedly, in my books, that don't try and mix my science with standard science. And that's the first thing that most professionals want to do. That's why they have such a hard time understanding my scientific work. Because I say a concept or something about the comet tail material affecting Earth, and right away they're going, oh, well, dirty snowballs, and they're little, and they have all of these preconceived notions. So I've said all along that the hardest people to really grasp these new ideas. They're not so new, but to a lot of people, they're new to them. The professional scientist is the hardest one to talk to, simply because they already got a PhD, they think they know it all, none of this makes any sense to them, and they don't see any reason to change. They're getting their paycheck, everybody else is telling them they're right. You have a clubhouse atmosphere of people all patting themselves on the back and giving each other awards and for scientific achievement, and 98% of it is in simply bad science. So that's why the scientists, the professional scientists of today, are really all, they're very hard to communicate with because they're off in their own little ivory tower. This past week, just to give an example of that, there were some professors from MIT, and very highly respected school, and they were founding people, some of them, in the area of cryptology, which is the study of encryption as applied to computer communications or secure computing, protecting your computer data content. How do you do that? How do you keep unwanted activity out? But at any rate, these gentlemen were giving a video, and they had an article that appeared in an MIT news brief, like a news release periodical that appears on the internet, and praising the concept of twin primes, of prime products being used in encryption. And with the belief that prime numbers are sacred and there's no pattern to them, and it's not easy to find the products of or the factors of very large prime numbers, or factors of very large numbers, the factors being prime numbers. And so they're still depending on this, but they're sitting in ivory towers. Here's the point. They're sitting in ivory towers completely unaware of the fact that lots and lots and lots of my fans understand that what I did is solve the problem of calculating prime numbers directly. There's an equation in my book, Calculate Primes, and it shows you how to directly calculate prime numbers. They're calculated in groups, and it's a very easy process. And once you get going on it, you realize that after about 5 or 6 iterations of running this equation called the generator function in the book Calculate Primes, after about 5 or 6 iterations, you have discovered about 98% of all prime numbers from 0 to infinity. It's a very powerful method. So at any rate, the point is that people in academia are still living in their ivory towers. They have no clue that someone has done this, and they can't figure out why secure computing isn't secure anymore. That's just an example of people living in an ivory tower with no clue about what's really going on around them. So, at any rate, I just wanted to throw that in there. The main science topic I'll be talking about tonight is the understanding of what happens to Earth when it's in the vicinity of a comet tail. Now, I'm not talking about a little comet tail. Actually, I'll be talking about what little comets do. They really don't do very much, but what happens when those comets get bigger and bigger and bigger? Well, then the effects get bigger and bigger and bigger, and of course, modern science doesn't recognize this because they have forbidden themselves from reading into the old texts. They will not give credence to the old texts from around the world, which literally tell us what the people saw back then. And modern science is too much on an ego trip to allow ancient texts to tell them how science really works. So instead, they once again live in their ivory towers and live in a world, in a non-real world, a kind of a Disneyland fairy tale science world. But as long as they publish in journals, as long as they all stand together and look at each other and say, we're right, and they get their paychecks and they control the government funding, as long as that's going on, you're not going to be able to talk to these people. You can't get a word in edgewise because they already know everything. So the point is, I'm going to talk about what it's like to be near a comet tail. But first, I have some what I would call major announcements. There's a couple new items that will appear. They're already there on my webpage. What I would call the product list or the available items for my listening audience. And by the way, I know this audience grows every week. There are new people every week. So I want to encourage people to go back and listen to the archives. All of my shows are archived on my webpage, jmccsci.com. That's the short version. jmccsci.com is the long version, but too many people misspell it. And you end up in one of those bad typo-squatting sites, and you don't want to be there. Those are all the sites that the government set up to try and make people think that I'm a bad person when you end up on those sites. One woman I talked to on the phone one day, she worked for the Nick Society that gives out the web names, and she said, I've never seen anything like this. You have over 40 typo squatting sites, and they all turn to sites that really, like I say, you don't want to be there. So that's why I got the short URL that points to my website. It's just 7 letters, JMCC. S is in Sam, C is in Charlie, I is in Indigo.com, JMCCSCI.com, short for JMCCSCI.com. Okay, but anyway, many of you already know, I'll just briefly list the products that are already there. There's the pre-filter, which is a private product. It's my webpage is the only place you're going to see that. It's for pre-filtering water before it goes into your gravity feed water filter. Then I sell, of course, the Dalton brand water filters and filter elements. Then there is the Flax products, which are amazing health products. These are, you would use it every day, and then also in case of emergency, Flax is a grain that you can eat and literally live on. Then there's the freeze-dried Mountain House freeze-dried food. We have a good, constantly rolling supply right now, many times up to 40 to 60 cases at a given time of a given product in the warehouse ready to ship. So, and only the items that are available to ship are listed on the webpage. We change that on a daily basis, or monitor it on a daily basis. So if products become available, they're listed. If they become purchased and not available, then they're taken off the list on the secure web ordering page. Then there's the my books, CDs, DVDs that are available on the webpage. Okay, so but there's a couple new items coming along here, and I'm very, very excited about this. And this day, August 25th, 2011, I'm making some announcements. The Diamond Principle came out a little over a year ago. It was released August 3rd, 2010, and has been selling very good. I'm very happy with that. The original books, Planet X, Comets and Earth Changes, The Atlantis to Tesla, The Colburn Connection, The Surviving Planet X Passage Pamphlet, let's see, the weather book, Principia Meteorologia, The Physics of Sun, Earth, Weather. Then there's the CDs, also Calculate Primes book, still selling very good. And the amazing number of people interested in prime numbers and understanding why, how easy it is to understand the concepts of prime numbers. So that book's still doing quite well. But anyway, here are the new products. I have a two CD set. These are audio files with some visuals also included, but basically these are audio files, and I'm going to sell it this way to begin with. I've just to explain, to give you a little preview of why I do things the way I do. As soon as my products are released, in terms of the books, the book releases, the CDs, DVDs, the disinformation crew jumps all over it and spreads the airwaves and the internet and any other way they can get a hold of something to try and twist or just dissuade people from seeing my messages. So here's, like with the Calculate Primes book, just as an example, I pre-released it and sold it before people even knew what the name was. I gave some lectures preparing people for the book. And quite a bit of the first printing was already sold out before the title was even announced. And those books were already shipped and already on their way all around the world. And so the Atlantis to Tesla book was my second major book. The Planet X, Comets, and Earth Changes book was the first one. Well, when I announced that I had a new book coming out, everybody thought I was going to have another Planet X book. Well, the Atlantis to Tesla, the Colburn Connection book, is not really a Planet X book. It talks about prehistory. It talks about modern science. It talks about Tesla. It talks about the ancients and what they saw. It talks about the flying saucer propulsion systems, the electromagnetic propulsion system. It talks about secret societies. It introduced the Colburn into the Western Hemisphere, and on and on and on. But the point is, with the Atlantis to Tesla book, it sold out the first printing before anybody even knew the title. And so at any rate, with the new 2-CD set, as I say, there are two somewhat related topics in a 2-CD set where I give lectures on specific topics. But I'll give you some hints. It's very much Planet X related, and it's very much detail related, a lot of levels of detail that you have not really heard before. And so the point of the two DVDs or the two CD set is that it's really a series of lectures that's very important, let's put it that way. And so I wanted people to actually have that set of CDs that they can take with them. Even if they don't have access to the internet, they could still play them. And that might come down to this someday. Let's take an example. Let's take an example that the grid goes down, electric grid. Well, people would still be able to maybe hook up to a battery and play and run their computer or another machine or something like that. But they could put these CDs in their computer and listen to them, and they'll become a lot more relevant if we have a Planet X event. And so that's why I'm putting these products on CDs and not just on the web page. It'll make them available in hard copy. And so it's a 2-CD set, and that will be on the web page. You can go there, and the 2-CD set. You can also buy two sets of the 2-CD set, and includes free shipping, just like the Diamond Principle book. You can buy one copy of the Diamond Principle book and pay for shipping, but for a few dollars more, you get two books and you get free shipping. So there will be the same situation with the 2-CD set. Okay, so that's on the web page, posted, ready to sell. And the point is that if you pre-purchase the CD, in a couple weeks, in about 14 days, we'll be shipping the first wave of these CDs. We're going to wait until a goodly number of people have ordered it, and then we'll ship them, and you'll actually get the CD in your hand before the titles are announced. And so these are going to go all over the world, and the topics, the information will be in the hands of people all over the world before the title is announced and before the disinformation crew is going to will have access to it to try and dissuade the message. This is something that happens a couple times recently. I made the mistake, and I've known for a long time, don't pre-announce my topics for radio shows, my weekly radio show or other radio shows where I'm a guest, because the disinformation crew gets a hold of it and floods the airwaves with misinformation on that topic. So when I come along to do the show on that particular topic, everybody's befuddled and got confusing information and on. So I've learned, don't pre-announce titles or topics. And that's the case with the two CD set. So, and also the point being that if you pre-order, you're going to have the copy of this in your hand before the title is released to the general public and before the disinformation crew can get in there and try and destroy the message. By the way, people wonder why I don't go after these people, because in a lot of cases we know who's doing it. Well, the reason is because it's an educational experience. When people out there realize the amount of effort that's going into try and drown out my message to the public, then when people wake up, in fact, it's a way that a lot of people have come to listen to me. They get a piece of misinformation that's meant to destroy my name, my work, my good image, etc. And so they just innocently go to my webpage. Oh, who's this guy? I'll go, and then they're in my webpage. Then they can judge for themselves. Then, after they learn who I am and what my message is and what all of the complicated details that I talk about, and they start listening to the radio archive shows, then they go back and they look at the source of misinformation that keyed them off to my name in the first place, the site where they're trying to destroy my name, my work, and then they're going to go, you know, somebody is putting an awful lot of time and effort into trying to destroy McCanny's work and name, good name, and his efforts to get information to the public. That's an educational experience, and then all of a sudden it's going to dawn on them that somebody's really, really working hard to keep you in the dark about a lot of important topics. So at any rate, put that in a blender, and now you come up with the understanding of why I would release a CD, actually the two CD set, and then have people pre-purchase it before it is released to the public, because you'll be able to get the CD, listen to it, and understand the content and know the subject that I'm talking about. And just once again, it's a very much Planet X related topic, and it's something that if there ever were an event, those two CDs, you're going to want to put in your computer and listen to them, because it's going to tell you what's going on. Let's put it that way. So without any further ado, go to the web page, order the two CD set, and you will receive it. If you order it in the next couple of weeks, you'll receive it before the topics and titles are announced. Number two. Okay, another set of new products coming along, and this is, I'm very, very pleased with this. And everybody knows I've sold water products for a long time. The Dalton water filters, the spare filter elements, the arsenic fluoride reduction filter, add-on filter, the mini travel emergency filter. Those people have gotten those all over. I know a lot of people that travel with those. That's their source of water when they travel. And then the plastic high capacity water filter that will take up to 5 water filter elements. And it's just such an amazing good deal, because it's like the five filter elements cost more than what it costs you to get the plastic filter and the five elements. It's just an amazing deal. If you bought the five filter elements alone, it would cost more than what that package costs. So you, and plus it'll filter up to 50 gallons a day. It's made of high density polyethylene plastic. Okay, so those are the products I currently have. Two things are happening. Right now, I'm introducing stainless steel water bottles. And now I know you can find these other places, but I wanted a complete system. I wanted a complete system for the people that have already purchased water filters from me. And these are 18 ounce, 27 ounce, and 40 ounce sizes. Stainless steel water bottles, you can get it with a ring cap, which is a little ring that you can put on your belt or a clip. And also comes with a sports cap. Another accessory is a bicycle cage mount. You put it on your bicycle, and it holds one of the 18 or 27 ounce water bottles. And these are high quality stainless steel water bottles. Remember that the Dalton water filter case is stainless steel. So this is extremely high quality product, and it's very inexpensive. When you go to the store and you buy plastic bottles and you get water, first of all, the water is probably just out of a lake or very minimal filtering, very low standards, and people put a beautiful label on it, and you think you're drinking some water from France, and it's really the river sludge from down the creek there. It's incredible what these companies get away with as far as the water market, but they own the water market. It's incredible. It's absolutely ridiculous. But the problem is people are putting this water from plastic water bottles into their body, and these are the thin, clear plastic water bottles that you buy at the store with, like, the, you know, sports bottle or water. Here's the situation. If sunlight hits that water bottle, it's going to leach chemicals into the water. These are not good chemicals. These are the kind of chemicals that cause cancer. Then you have to throw that away, and it's not a recyclable plastic, so it goes right into the landfill. And it's just a horrible situation, and I'm trying to do something to cure this. So that's why I'm offering these are reusable stainless steel bottles. This is something that your children's children's children will still be using. That's how high quality this is, just like the Dalton water filter. Like I say, it comes in 18 ounce, 27 ounce, and 40 ounce sizes. And you can buy them one, two, or three at a time, or you can buy them in groups of six and get a reduced price. And so I know a lot of people that get these for their family. They have a couple extra. Some, you know, they take the water with them wherever they go. And so now you can have a complete water system. You filter the water, you put it into your stainless steel portable container, and you've got your daily supply of water carrying it with you. In the car or on a trip, camping. I'm also promoting the idea of using the water filter as your portable personal water system. And more people are carrying the full-size Dalton stainless steel water filter with them wherever they go. I've got pictures of kids camping. And on a camping trip, they go out in the middle of nowhere, and the one thing they carry with them, it really doesn't weigh that much, the stainless steel Dalton water filter. And you take it with one filter element, and you've got clean water. And then you have your stainless steel water bottle along with that, and you're good to go. You have clean water. You're putting real clean, purified water has a bad connotation because there's a lot of purified water sales gimmicks out there where they basically put chemicals in the water to so-called purify it. So you're drinking chemicals that kill anything in the water, and they call that purified water. So excuse me for using that term. In my view, purified water should be something that comes through a filter. There's nothing there but pure H2O. But in the world of bad corporate, poor responsibility corporate entities in the water business, purified means putting chemicals in that water to poison everything, and then it ends up poisoning you. So, purified water, filtered water, I think is the best word because that says exactly what's happening. So at any rate, the other thing I want to mention is that I have finally gotten to the point where I can name brand my products. So I've started basically a line of filtration and storage products under J. McCanny Science. So it's the J. McCanny Science basically logo. It's the same good products that you're used to, but they're name branded under J. McCanny Science. And that allows me to do a lot of things with this as I expand into the worldwide market, basically, of water purification or water filtration. I got to stop using that word. Water filtration, clean water, and then the storage systems to put the water in once you're done. So that's something that's going to be coming along. And as I say, you're going to see the name branding, J. McCanny Science, water filtration and storage systems. But understand that it's the same great products that you're used to getting. I'm very excited about that. This has come a long way, and the future is huge. Let's put it this way. I see, and this is not just me, this is corporations around the world are getting in line to try and own water. And what I'm trying to do is to point out that, no, you have water freedom. You have the ability to have your own clean water, your own clean storage system, and you know what's in the water and what's not in the water. So at any rate, when these large corporations want to own the water of the world and control the water rights through government legislation, etc., giving them a corner on water. Just imagine it costs you $1.50. You go into a store to buy a liter of water? What? It's beyond ridiculous. Absolutely beyond ridiculous. But this century that we're heading into, we're already 11 years into it, we're going into year 11 right now, is going to be the century of water and water control. It's going to be used to control the public. Remember that all of the climate change, all of that is set. The primary motivation is the control of water. And if you want to control people, control water. Because it's more important than money, it's more important than gold, it's more important than food, literally. Without water, you're not going to live long. So they've realized that that's the one element, just like air. Remember the air tax, the carbon tax? They want to control everything you do. So what I'm trying to do is set a precedent. People can be water independent. And that includes filtration and the storage system. So now that you've got clean water, filtered water, really good water, what do you do with it? You can carry that around with you. So if you're, here's the point too. Imagine a person in sports, and you're going to see the pictures when you go to the website. If you're a bicyclist, if you're a mountain climber, if you hike, if you canoe, if you're boating, if you play basketball, if you play football, if you play soccer, if you go fishing, no matter what your sport, if you rollerblade, whatever your sport, I don't care what your sport is, most people spend thousands of dollars, at least hundreds of dollars on their equipment. But what do? They drink water that's full of chemicals, that's bad. The water is bad for you. It's literally going to give you cancer in certain cases. So the point is, water, clean water and a way to store it, and say you're a cyclist and you travel around to different cycling events, say you're a triathlete, say you're a person that you just have the family, you go on vacation a couple times this summer, or a couple times during the year. And, you know, you want to take your water system with you so the kids all have water. And by the way, you're gonna pay for this system in all of the stainless steel water bottles. You're going to pay for these in under a year, and then you're going to have free water from then on. Free good water, I might add. So at any rate, okay, enough of that. But go to the webpage, JMCC-SCI, and you can see I'm excited about this because it's something I've had in mind to do a long time, but these things take time, they take effort, a lot of work, getting things in place before they can go on the webpage for sale. So at any rate, very excited about this. Go to the webpage and remember the two CD set, and then also the new water filter and the water bottle, stainless steel water bottles. Okay. You can tell I'm excited about that. I'm just going to take a drink of water, just a second. Thank you. I was about losing my voice there. And by the way, water from my Dalton water filter. Okay, passing through the tail of a comet. Now, last week, I talked about the physics of Moses. And Moses lived during a time when a tremendous event happened on Earth. And it was during a time in history when the solar system was being just jostled by a huge comet passing through. These things had happened before. The prophets and the scriptures were very well versed in the ancient days when massive cometary type objects came through the solar system and devastated Earth. The Greeks, the great uncle of Solon, went back to Greece, and he asked the Greeks, he said, where did we come from? What's the history of the Greeks? And the secret priest cults that were in Egypt at the time said, you people have no clue, you're just young, a young nation, but you have no clue what's gone on here. They said, in the past 10,000 years, we have been devastated 5 times from these things that come in from outside. And so they said every time we get our society up and running, we get labeled again. And so now understand that these were the secret societies in Egypt, and this knowledge has been passed down. It's just that the people in power understand one thing, one very basic thing. If the public knew, if John J. Public, or if in no matter whether you were living in Pharaoh's time in ancient Egypt, or you're living today in 2011 in the mess we call the United States, or in Europe or any other place in the world, if the people at large woke up and understood that these events happened, they would solidify into a number of directions. They would say, we have to get our act together. We have to stop fighting these petty wars. We have to stop using our resources, time of which is one of our resources. We have to stop wasting our resources on petty wars and all of the things we're doing, building SUVs, driving up and down the road, working 40-hour-a-week jobs and paying interest on house and cars and this crazy banking system that exists that everybody's indebted up to their eyeballs and farther, including the country. The United States owes more money now than exists in the entire world. Absolutely absurd. The people would wake up and say, whoa, stop. We have to get our society together. We have to get off this planet. Not one or two NASA astronauts. We need to get hundreds and thousands of people and millions of people off this planet. We have to get them into space stations that are autonomous. And this has nothing to do with venture capital or return on investment, because these babies are going to go out and go away and they're not going to come back. We have to have autonomous living structures for the population, and we have to do this, and this is not an issue. So we can't keep fighting these petty wars. We can't keep paying interest on banker loans. You see where this is going? So it's ultimately important that the bankers who control the governments of the world and all the money flow, the fake money flow, I should say, and the taxation to pay back the debt, which is just never ending, and social programs and countries that are, their countries are so war-torn and destroyed that all the people have to come here and put a tremendous burden on the United States, and that they can't live in their own country because it's been destroyed by this same system, and on and on. The bankers that control all of this cannot let the public onto the fact that every couple thousand years we get ramrodded by a planet type of object, a comet, a large comet that comes through the solar system. So look at all the effort that's put into this to try and prevent you from understanding. So anyway, that's what this show it tries to do, is to give you the understanding, also to give you the tools to be free, so that your self, you're autonomous. You're a person. When I wrote the Diamond Principle, one of the main issues that I had to deal with is that society today, if we were to turn and all of a sudden everybody woke up and said, yeah, we know Planet X type objects are out there. There are many of them. They could come in at any time. We don't have a schedule on these things, but we got to get our act together here. If the whole society woke up to do that, the first thing you'd realize is that nobody's been trained on how to act or how to live in a communal situation with a million people and live in harmony. We're all tearing each other's necks apart around here. Everybody's trying to beat the other guy or get more money or chasing the dollar. You can't take that society. You can't take that society and put it out into a space station and expect it to do well. It just can't happen. So the point is that there has to be an entire mental change of large groups of people, millions of people, where they would live together. Most of the work that's being done today by what the so-called jobs, the evening news promotes this concept that jobs, everybody needs a job that keeps you busy, that keeps you paying interest, that none of this is necessary. 99% of it is just busy work, and we're burning up trees and resources and metal and all kinds of resources, and plus nobody's happy. I don't see any people walking around happy. I see people walking around in a daze. They don't know what's going on. They don't know what's happening to them. And so the point is that the world is literally sheeple. They're just being led around by the nose by this ridiculous system, and nobody has the ability to stand up and say, stop! We can't keep going on like this. This has got to stop. Not tomorrow. Not in 2020. It's got to stop now. It had to stop yesterday. It had to stop 20 years ago. We didn't need the Cold War. That was all, just government control, more control type propaganda to keep everybody working. When I was a kid, I had to dive under my desk during school drills because the Russians were supposedly going to bomb us out of existence on any given moment. That was pounded into kids when they were little. Why is that? Well, when you grew up, you had to pay taxes to support all of that military hardware, so if the Russians ever came here, we would be able to defend ourselves, and we'd be able to fire so many missiles, nuclear missiles at them, and we'd destroy them, we'd flatten their whole country. But they could also do it to us. Mutually assured destruction. MAD. Isn't that a crazy term? But that's the life we've been given. But that's all banker crap, let me put it that way. That's all a construct, because if you didn't do that, if you woke up in mass one day and said, we ain't doing this anymore, those guys wouldn't have a job, because they depend on that. They depend on that cycle of loans to countries, creating wars, creating phony enemies, which creates the then taxation of the public, where the public is working 90 hours a week trying to pay for all their bills, plus the war that's going on, the eternal war. It just can never end. It'll never end. It'll never, and you'll never get to the place where you need to go, and you're never going to have 5 minutes to sit down and think, hey, what are we doing? This is nuts. We got to stop. So anyway, you have to understand how important it is. The key part of all of this is to make sure that the public doesn't understand the true nature of the solar system. That someday one of these big babies is going to come rolling through here again and take this planet down to its knees. So that's, by the way, if I want to go back to that 2-CD set that I was telling you about, the new release, what I'm telling you is that if this ever happens, you're going to want to have that 2-CD set, and you're going to want to pop those into your computer and plug it into a car battery or something and sit there, and when things are going on, you're going to want to listen to those CDs, because it's going to tell you exactly what's going on and what you should do, okay? So at any rate, I wanted to review what happens to Earth when it passes through a comet tail. And this is something I've noticed, as I said earlier in the show, that a lot of people, I see listener mail that comes in, I see their comments, and people really don't understand what's going on here. People say, well, gee, that's a lot of water, you know, that came in and during, say, the flood or something like that, or how could that happen? They don't have a concept that in a large comet, the water is in streamers. The electromagnetic forces pull the ionized water together into literally currents of water. So if Earth gets in line of one of these, it's like a fire hose of cosmic proportions. And that water is going to come pouring in, and there's no way to stop it. It's going to come pouring in and really label, along with a lot of other chemicals. Hydrocarbons, it's coming in with rocks, burning rocks. The ancients talk about this, the burning fire and naphtha in the brimstone coming in from above. Where do you think this came from? It didn't. I had somebody write in and said that Noah's flood, for example, was a little bit of extra rain from the Mediterranean. This, what? When I was talking about the hail in the seven plagues of Moses, during the seven plagues of Egypt, one of the plague right before the darkness was hail. It doesn't hail in Egypt. Let me give you a clue. Some guy goes, well, yeah, that was just a little, that was hail coming off the Mediterranean. I think I should buy this guy a plane ticket, fly him over to the Mediterranean, and point it out that there ain't no hail in the Mediterranean. It doesn't hail there. You know, this is not normal. The weather conditions for Egypt. Go to Egypt for a while. It doesn't hail there. Okay? What are people thinking? That's what last week I went through the seven plagues of Moses, you know, where the insects come up out of the ground because of the electricity, the electrical effects that are going on from the passing comet. You look at all of these signs. They are signs, and they are signs that need interpretation. And that's where I come in. That's where my science comes in, because it tells you. It tells you how these processes work. It tells you how those electrical currents get from the comet down to the ground where the insects live and cause those insects to come out of the ground because they can't stand it anymore. I gave the example when I was a kid, and we take two wires from a 12-volt battery and take the wires from the positive lead and the negative lead, and we'd stick those wires in the ground, and in about 5 minutes, every worm in the area was crawling up out of the ground. What does that tell you? Frogs, if there were any frogs in the area, we got those too. So it was bugs, insects, worms, anything that was in the ground came up out of the ground when we put that 12-volt battery down there. Imagine a passing electrically active comet. And what's that going to do? Every creature in the ground is going to come up, and it's going to be a mess because there's a lot of living things down in the ground. As I said, sometimes scientists believe that there is more life underground than there is above ground in terms of the volume of biological life in the form of insects. So when you have a passing comet, an electrical activity from the comet, those bugs and everything in the ground is going to come up out of the ground. And in Egypt, first it was the frogs, then it was the gnats, then it was the flies, then the flies bit the people and caused welts. The boils on the skin, those were staph infection. You can just see these things happening and the people unable to cope with it. Just things that are way beyond them. And then they were told to seal their doors, to go in their huts and wait until they were given word. And I wanted to give this scenario too. That I imagine some of the people in charge had little animals, probably like, you know, who knows, little teeny animals of some kind that they kept in the huts with them, with the sealed huts during the Passover, the Israelite first Passover when the comet was coming by, and they would let animals out, little animals out into, and then watch them, probably through a little hole in the door that they could just watch the animal. And if the animal died, they knew it, that they couldn't go out yet. They had to wait until this thing passed over, until all that poison gas had washed away and it was finally safe to go out. And when they went out, there were a lot of dead people out there, let me tell you. A lot of dead people. Because that's what happened. The arsenic and other chemicals from the passing comet killed them. There's a case where Halley's Comet, the Earth went through the tail of Halley's Comet in 1910. They detected arsenic and other poisonous chemicals in the tail of Halley's Comet, but nobody died. Well, why? Halley's Comet is a little teeny nothing. It's a nothing comet. It in no way can be compared to the major comets that were seen in the ancient days, where the Earth spent days and days and days and weeks, in fact, in the comet tail. These were major comet tails. They were gigantic with high volumes of chemicals. So at any rate, you see that you have to understand first my science, then you have to understand the effects. And the other thing you have to do is don't include standard science, please, because it doesn't fit, it doesn't belong. And you just throw it out completely with the baby in the bathwater, because standard science is not going to give you any understanding at all. Well, thanks for listening again, and hope to have you all here next week. This is James McCanny. This is my Science Hour, and as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.